Hey there, my name's Gary Sims and this is Gary Explained. Now, one of the things that contributed to the success of the Arduino ecosystem is the fact there are clone boards that are manufactured and so you don't have to buy it directly from Arduino itself. You can buy a clone. It's compatible because they use the same kind of chips, and basically all of the Arduino boards are kind of available as clones in one form or another, and often at a much lower price or with greater features. Now, the same thing is now happening to the Raspberry Pi Pico. I've got hold of a Raspberry Pi Pico from AliExpress. It was shipped from China to me here, but it's got 16 megabytes of flash. It uses USB-C rather than micro USB. It's got a Neo LED and so on. So what I want to do today is dive in, have a look at this clone of a Raspberry Pi Pico, see, was it work? Is it a true clone? Is it compatible? What features does it offer? And so on. So if you want to find out more, please let me explain. Okay, so here is the clone Pico board in all of its glory. We can see that it's black here to distinguish it from the green ones that are the traditional ones from the Raspberry Pi Foundation. Before we go into all the details, how did we get here? How is this even possible? If you go to the Raspberry Pi website, you'll actually see there's a section here that's got all of the design files. And these are files for Cadence, which of course is for how you make the PCBs, step files for exchanging information about the 3D models and so on. If you look at some of them, here is an example of the 3D model board, shows you all the physical characteristics of what you need to actually make the board. And here is the board inside of the Cadence program, which is a PCB design program. And you can dive into all the different layers and how it's all connected together. So if you understand this stuff, if this is what you do, then these files are everything you need to get yourself going on making a clone copy. And of course, that's what's happened. So here on AliExpress, you can buy this board from several different vendors, and it's a 16 megabyte version with USB-C. I ordered one, only cost $5, which is actually less than what it cost me to buy a normal Raspberry Pi Pico locally, and you get so much more for it. It does take a long time. It took about 3-4 weeks to get to me, but once it got to me, I was actually really pleasantly surprised. So let's look at the main features. Of course, it's USB-C rather than micro USB, which is good because I've kind of moved over almost to USB-C exclusively now. So being able to do that here is great. You've got 16 megabytes of flash rather than the 2 megabytes of flash that you would normally get. You've got the same RP2040 dual core Cortex M0 Plus microcontroller. That's the actual one from the Raspberry Pi Foundation, not some kind of clone or something. And they just soldered that onto the board that they've designed. And you've still got other features like the serial wire debug you can connect up there. For all those kind of things, see my tutorial video here on how you do that with Piccolo OS, for example. Other things to note, normally you just get the boot button on the Raspberry Pi Pico, but on this one you actually get a built-in user programmable button, so you can look at GPIO 24 to see where that button's been pressed, and there's a built-in reset button, so 3 buttons in total. I normally wire up a reset button and often a user programmable button myself, so in a breadboard, so having these built onto the board is a good advantage. And then we've also got the normal LED on GPIO 25 as you would normally expect, the power LED as you expect. There's also a WS2812 NeoPixel, that's a red, green, blue NeoPixel on GPIO 23. And in fact, what I'm going to do is show you the Python code in a demo of how you program that in a moment. And then when you put it all together, you can see that's quite an interesting set of features. Much, much more flash, USB-C, extra buttons, extra LEDs, while still maintaining the compatibility because it is that same RP2040 microcontroller chip. So that's absolutely brilliant. And as I said, cost me the same, really, or less than what I'd pay for one locally. Okay, so let's go on and have a quick demo. Okay, so here we are inside Authony. I've obviously got the Raspberry Pi Pico clone connected up via USB-C. Now we're going to get the NeoPixel to flash, going through the different colours that it can do. So first of all, you're going to need a file called neopixel.py, which you need to download onto the Raspberry Pi Pico. Here is the address of from GitHub where I got this copy. I'll also have a copy of it in my GitHub repository for the examples. You need to basically get that code and save it onto the Raspberry Pi Pico. Then you need a main.py. main.python, and this is where we're going to do the actual work. Notice here there is a from NeoPixel import NeoPixel, so that's basically the class that handles all of that stuff. Just going back to that for a second, it actually does use the PIO state machines for doing that, so that's quite clever. I've got a video here on PIO state machines if you want to watch that. And so basically we set up the normal LED because we're going to have that flashing as well just for fun. And then here we say pixels is equal to neopixels. Now what are these parameters? The first one is the number of LEDs. In this case it's just one because there's one on the board. This does work with those strips of LEDs as well. Then we specify which state machine, the PIO state machine. There are hardware PIO state machines and you have to reference them. In this case, we're just going to start with the first one, that's zero. Pin 23, if you remember from the pinout diagram, I showed you pin 23 was connected to the NeoPixel. And then finally the mode, which we're going to use it in red, green, blue mode, RGB mode. There's a little function here for blinking the normal LED on pin 25. So that just is pretty simple. Now, there are two functions here that just to do with color. Basically, this first one here takes an input value between 0 and 255 and turns it into an RGB color. So you can return here three things RGB. It just cycles through them from red to green to blue and then back again to red. So a very simple way of just getting 256 colors out of the many, many variations, of course, that would be available there. And then this one, rainbow cycle, basically it just says 4J is equal to range 256. That goes from 0 through to 255, and then it calls this wheel function with that value. That's the wheel function here. And then we just set the pixel to whatever color that is, and then wait. So that's pretty simple. So down at the bottom, what do? We kick off the timer for the blinking LED. So that just runs there by timers. We set the brightness to 50. And the reason I do that is actually this LED is really quite bright. And actually I find it quite painful on the eyes if it's at full brightness. So I turn that down a little bit, also helps with the camera. And then very simple, while true, so forever, just keep setting a different color. And that's what it will do. It will just keep setting the different colors forever and ever. For quite a simple program, a couple of helper functions here for working out the colors, the NeoPixel class for talking to all the comms. But that's it, basically just set the colors around. Okay, let's have a look at it working. Now, just to show that the clone Pico is pinout compatible with a normal Raspberry Pi Pico, I'm connecting up here to the Pico display. I've got a video about this here, which uses a lot of the pins, and of course it just slots in here. And then we're just going to run a quick demo program showing the balls bouncing around. As you can see, works absolutely normal. So it really does look to be 100% compatible with the Raspberry Pi Pico. Okay, so there you go. There's my look at the Raspberry Pi Pico clone. Now, here's a question for you. Would you buy one of those, or would you still buy an original directly from the Raspberry Pi Foundation? Please do let me know in the comments below. Okay, if you like this video, please do consider giving it a thumbs up. If you like these kinds of videos, please consider sticking around by subscribing to the channel. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Gary Explains, and I also have a monthly newsletter. Go over to GaryExplains.com, type in your email address. No spam, but you will get the newsletter. Okay, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.